Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 is where we'll be this morning. But just to give you a little history on Philippians, the church at Philippi. In chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, and the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now, this time in Philippi, the Roman emperor was Nero. And so I did a little reading on Nero. Horrible. What a horrible emperor. He hated Christians. He was a fanatical Roman dictator. He didn't even do his subjects very well. He would put the Christians on display for mockery, make fun of them, and then kill them one way or the other. So this church at Philippi is under this Roman emperor's rule. So that's obviously they got troubles without. Now we think we got troubles in this country. We're at least allowed to assemble together and meet together. Or I should say we used to be able to do that. It's kind of scary. But we are able to gather, and it really hasn't affected this church, I don't think. We're just going to keep right on going as we can. But this church here in Philippi, the reason why I bring this up is because there's a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities. So this church had trouble outside of themselves. The ruler over this territory hated Christians. And they had troubles within. Because if you read through this book, it seems like it's kind of similar to Galatians, though not as perhaps as poignant, but they did have some teaching. There were teachers had come in, and they were anti-Paul. And they said his gospel was not the true gospel, because he didn't preach law. So they would come in and try to mix the gospel, which is no gospel at all. Once you mix works with this gospel of grace, it's no gospel. Because, you know, he says in another place, if it's of grace, then it's no more works. If it's of works, it's no more grace. So they had troubles within, and the struggles that they had within themselves personally, but they had troubles within the church, and they had outward troubles. And this is why I'm bringing this up, because it's very appropriate for our day and our time for us in this United States. We live in times of fear. Fear mongers, both within and without. We live in violent times. You look, watch the news, or I recommend just shutting the TV off, but you see, if you saw the situation that happened in Minnesota, it's terrible. And then it's kind of getting different cities in the country. We live in times of fear, misinformation, downright lies, propaganda, yellow journalism, all these different things. They had an emperor that hated the gospel, that hated Christianity. And then you've got these troublemakers coming in this place. They're coming in the church at Philippi and trying to stir trouble. Now, years ago, when we first got going, Bruce and I, as the elders, we were concerned. And our main concern, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that we would compromise the truth, or somebody would come in, because we were greenhorns. We were green behind the ear. We were scared. And we constantly got together and prayed, petitioned that the Lord would not forsake us. The truth would be continually sounded from this pulpit, whether it's me or whether it's Bruce or whoever comes in. And we were scared that somebody would come in and be too much for us and overpower us. But that the Lord, as it always turns out, He takes care of a lot of stuff that we worry about. So as I'm listening to the news, and I know that there's you out there that listen to the news, my mom, she can't stand the mainstream media, but she's got to watch her news, CBS, NBC, and gets aggravated. And I just, why do you watch it? Just turn it down and then turn it up when it's local. So this, and I was upset with this situation in Minnesota. I was upset this week. So I said, what do I do as your pastor, as a preacher, in these unstable times? And what can you do? When you get together with your friends and your families, do you talk about COVID-19? I'm so sick and tired of hearing that, sick and tired of hearing social distancing. I'm sick and tired of it. I don't want to hear it. I know we need to get a group together, Sovereign Grace group, and go to Washington and protest. If that's what you feel like you need to do, I don't feel like the believer needs to get involved. We don't live here. We don't live here. So again, I bring it back to myself. As your pastor, what can I do? What can you do? Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord gave me this about 2 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning. I had thought about going some other places, but this works. This works. Paul says to the Philippians, in times of trouble without and times of trouble within, and even personal trouble, if you have situations that I don't even know about, what you're going through, here we go. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write, to preach, or to declare the same things to you, to me, the preacher, indeed is not grievous. That word is irksome or boring. It's not boring to me. If it becomes boring to me, then I need to step down. But there's something for you here too. But for you to hear the same message, not the same text, but one preacher preached the same text as like 6 weeks in a row, and his people came up to, or one of the elders came up and says, are you going to go to a different text? He says, when you obey that text, I'll move on. But I hit myself before I hit you. But for you, it is safe. Nathan, men were back there, talking, and somebody said, we don't want to hear the preacher, we don't want to hear politics. But there is some things that are relevant, like what's going on in Philippi, like what's going on in this country. And you can allow yourself to be swept away and be in conversations and then inundated with yourself. Well, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm not saying that in a haughty way. I'm just saying there's other fish to fry, however you want to say it. There's other things to talk about. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of this world. We got to live in this world. We got to pay taxes. We have to have neighbors. We are friends. All that is true. But why don't we see some neighbors here? Why are we always giving in to what they want to talk about, what they want to say, and I guarantee you this, we've got some neighbors we haven't seen in a while. We've been seeing them. They've been walking up and down our lane. And they don't care what you got to say. All they got to say is what they know, what the news has told them about this virus, and what the news has told them about these rioting, what the news has told them about this country. That's all they talk about. And if you try to get a word in edgeways, it's just an opinion. But I know one opinion that is absolutely true: the Scriptures. So let's look at verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 1. So what are we to do? What am I to do as your pastor? What have I taken on this solemn responsibility to do? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I was going to skip over that. I go, no. I can't skip over that. That may be the heart of the thing. You can have inner peace and joy knowing that God is the only one who controls everything by the word of his sovereign power. Melinda and I were talking about this week. If we only acted as if we truly believed God was sovereign. I'm serious. If we only believed, we wouldn't worry about what we were going to wear tomorrow. We wouldn't worry about what we were going to eat tomorrow. We wouldn't worry about our kids like we do. And it's parents. I was a parent. It's natural to worry. But they are God's gift. If he wants to take them, we're only borrowing it. Everything is his. He is totally on the throne. You may protect your kids by doing this, this, and that. If God's going to take them, he's going to take them. And I don't say that harshly or meanly. Live your life. Cast off this fear that's got hold of you, hold of me. And live by faith. Live by faith. Turn to Psalms 47. Now, I did find this passage that I was going to tell you the other time, and I couldn't find it. I re-looked it up, corrected my notes from a couple weeks ago, and it is Psalms 47. Psalms 47 and verse 7 and 8. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. That's like rejoicing in the Lord. God reigneth, verse 8, over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. Psalms 46, verses 1 and 2. God is king over the earth. Therefore, God is our refuge to every elect, every believer who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Strength and very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And I'll tell you what I've seen it the last couple months. Fear is ill. You can't reason with fear. You can't outsmart fear. You can't outguess it. And people will stand by it and think they're doing God's service, and they are walking in fear and not in faith. That's just the truth of the matter. Get on with your life. And you may bump somebody's shoulder. You may end up being a little closer than 6 feet. And Melinda read something the other day. It's not 6 feet. It was 27 or something. So who's right? Well, I watch this news. I'm right. No, we don't know. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. And so times like these, don't walk in fear. I say walk in faith. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Why? Because God is the king of the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Rejoice in the Lord, Jehovah God. Stand still was the charge of Israel of old. And I say it to us as well. In this place, stand still and know that God is God, that he is God. I'm not saying don't take precautions. If you got to go to a place, I'm using this COVID-19 for some reason. Anyway, if you got to go to a place and they say, wear a mask. And then you get done, take it off. It depends on who you read. The mask isn't doing you any good. I'll just throw that in. God is unchangeable. God is all powerful. God is all wise. God is all knowing. God is sovereign in providence. God is over all he creates. God is the owner of all his dear people. God is the doer of right and good always. God is holy, pure, and unmovable. Back to our text. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Not a Lord, not some Lord. The Lord. To write the same things to you. To write the same things. What is he writing? Well, I want to do a cursory perusal through chapters 1 and 2. But he keeps bringing them back to Christ. There's these people coming in. Don't follow them. The Galatians, don't follow them. Follow Christ. The message which you have heard, believe that. To write the same things. As your pastor, as a preacher of his truth, I write, I preach the same thing to you. What things? Christ and him crucified. Chapter 1 and verse in chapter 2. The gospel of our salvation. The truth of God. The truth about man. The truth about redemption. Or simply put, Christ and his gospel. I write the same thing to you. Over and over and over again. Well, that's not very deep. I'd say preaching Christ and him crucified is the deepest thing. We can't exhaust that. We cannot exhaust that. Simply, I'm writing the same things. I'm preaching the same thing to you that you've heard. Simply put, Christ and his gospel. Yes, but we need to hear the whole Bible. Well, in Acts chapter 20, Christ is not Christ the whole counsel of God? Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're not to be removed from the simplicity of Christ. John chapter 5, verse 39 through 47. Did not Christ himself say that they, the scriptures, are they which testify of him? And then again in Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Did not Christ tell us that Moses and Abraham and David and all the law and the prophets pointed to him? So if you want something deeper, you're wanting something deeper than the free substitution. You're wanting something deeper than Christ. You're wanting something more joyous to hear than Christ. And I'm not saying, and I know, I'm not standing up here saying, Christ, Christ, Christ. I'm not just saying the name. We there's doctrine attached with it. There's morality attached with it. There's love attached with it. There's emotions, there's feeling. We preach, he's the whole counsel of God. And that's what the preacher's responsibility is to find Christ in the text. Whether you want to be a better husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. If you want to be a better wife, submit. Bruce read that passage today. The son submits to the father. How to raise your children. Is not God our father? Look at how he's raising us. I mean, you could go on and on, and I've talked this to several pastors. There is no situation known to man that this scripture, this book does not cover. And it's more, and it's not, it used to be a trivia book. This book is about him. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Finally, my brethren, to rejoice in the Lord, the sovereign, the omnipotent, to write or to preach or to declare the same things to you, to me is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And so how do we get through these difficult, troubling times, whether it's personally or whether it's going outside our home? How do we deal with this? Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also received, and wherein you stand. Now, this word declare is interesting. It's twofold. Listen to me closely. Yes, then, as a person called to preach the gospel, if they say they are, then this is what they declare. They declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also received, wherein you stand. This word declare, it has the meaning, two meanings. It means to speak to people as if they have never heard. And secondly, it means to speak to people so as to remind them of what they believe. Didn't that take in everything? So don't be offended if I'm coming to you with the simplicity of the gospel. Paul says, don't be removed from the simplicity in Christ. That these kids could understand what I'm saying. We're not supposed to preach way over. We're to preach the simplicity in Christ. It's a simple gospel. Not easy believism. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. A, B, C, D, and now you're saved. That's not true. That's not it. Salvation is of the Lord's, by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. by the blood and righteousness of Christ. But we are to declare, to speak to people as though they've never heard, because we can't read their heart. And secondly, to speak to people who have believed and remind them of what they believe or who they believe. It's the gospel concerning Christ. Let's keep on going. Verse 2. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. There you go. Go anywhere in the Scripture, and you can tell. Expound. Preach. According to the Scripture. What? How to pay your bills? No. How that Christ died for our sins. Next verse, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel in a nutshell. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, them of the 12. And after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least. This is what the gospel produces. You say, well, Pastor, you're cocky. I don't mean to be. I just mean to be bold. I mean to have backbone. And I'm sounding a warning. If you have ears to hear this. Obey this. But I know, and I know my shortcomings, and they're long. And as and I tell Melinda, she says, I don't have that much time to tell you how many. And I know it. But I don't know myself as I ought to know. But the believer has a pretty good understanding of we ain't nothing. We're insignificant. Who's sufficient for these things? Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles and not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yes, they could keep on bringing up. Satan could keep on accusing him. Satan could keep on accusing Paul. You killed Stephen. That would be hard for me to live with. He murdered him. And all these other things. We murdered Christ. Every time we think about a brother or sister or even a person and are angry with them, we hate them. We look at something, well, I like that, we covet it. All these things we do because of what we are. But the believer says, I have an advocate. I've confessed my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. But I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. That's how important I take this when I stand up here. Now, I'm not going to say it's always been this way. It's kind of like nobody else is going to do it. I got to do it. And then there's times I don't, it's just like, what's the use? It's like Bruce said, are we right? What's the use? And then the Lord, he reveals something like this. And then I remember that I got my hands on a plow. And for my sake, but for your sake, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. It's about according to the Scriptures. Oh, we sing that song, tell me the old story. Are we just going through the motions, or do we believe how amazing this salvation and redemption is? So this gospel is concerning Christ. We preach it and leave it alone. I don't need to add any decision. I don't need to have you do this or do that. We preach the gospel and leave it alone. Why do we write or preach or declare the same thing? Well, let's keep going. In Philippians chapter 3. To me, it's not grievous. Now that word is irksome, literally, or boring. We get old. I look at Bruce, and I'm thinking, man, he's getting gray. But I'm not getting any gray. I don't have anything to get gray. I looked at my beard, I'm like, whoo, man, I need to get some of that stuff. We get old, our jobs get old and boring, our homes get old and worn out. Sometimes friends, families, and neighbors get irksome, tiresome, old hat. But the gospel, aided by the Holy Spirit of God, never gets boring. Tell me, sell to me, encourage me to keep that pearl of great price. Let me converse regarding the altogether lovely one. Don't tell me about man's free will, our decisionalism, salvation, or rededication, or an easy believism. No, I'm never satisfied with these, and they're false anyway. Don't tell me how good and sweet I am, or that I'm only a little sinner. No, lies set up by Satan and his false teachers. We must hear and have Christ, or we will eternally perish. That's why we declare, as though you've never heard it, because we think we know everybody, but I don't know your hearts. I don't know your hearts. We must have Christ, or we perish. The last thing, why do we declare this same message over and over again in different texts? It's all throughout the scriptures. He's that scarlet thread through from Genesis to Revelations. To me, it's not grievous. And like I say, if it becomes grievous, and I'm not telling you that I've been up here just all, you know, it's one thing to say you get up here and just give 100, and as the athletes would say, 110%, right? Get up here, I don't feel good. Get up here, I'm aggravated at myself, aggravated at you. I'm human. I don't think I communicate very well. I truly believe that I'm, you know, I'm a minor prophet. I'm not a major prophet. However, I believe I know the truth. And however, to your detriment, I guess I could say this jokingly, he's brought you here. But there's a point at which you just say, it's a point at which we said, we're like, we have to carry on ourselves. We have the truth. God is going to take care of us. And if it's just us and if it's just a couple families, we're going on. We're just going to move on. And so be it. We desire sinners to be saved. We've seen people come and go up and down. And it affects me, but it's like, but then I look at this passage and I just said, you know what? I must do this. We may have to sell this building, going back into a storefront. I don't want to do that. We've worked so hard. It's not up to me. Not up to me. I am to prepare the meal. And whether you come or not, I cannot make anybody eat. I can't make my wife eat. She can't make me eat. We have an individual faith. We don't have faith for somebody else. And I'll prepare the meal. And Bruce will prepare the meal. And I'm not being discouraging. I'm not saying anything about anybody. I'm just saying I know I've been through this. I do not want to arm wrestle you. I do not want to arm wrestle. If you don't want to be here for whatever reason, that's up to you. I was talking to a pastor yesterday. And he said, and I told him what Tim James said. He said he re-quoted that to me. Tim James said God's preachers are the most independent men on the top of God's green earth. And I agree with that. But I told this pastor, I said, but the church is a free society. That door is open. Swings both ways. It's a free society. We don't even have a church role. We don't even have a membership because we're family. Now, how insulting would that be if our daughter came back? Well, who are you? Well, wait, so are you on the list? The third reason why I continually do this, it's for your safety. And you may think you're safe, and I may think different, but I'm just going to keep preaching. And maybe you'll hear, and maybe I'll hear, maybe I'll believe what I'm saying, but here, we're going to look at this. We continue to, as God gives us breath, preach, write, declare the same thing, because it's safe for you and for me also. You don't realize how the Lord just rakes me over the coals when I'm getting the message ready. I'm sitting there, oh yeah, this girl needs this one. Boy, maybe years ago, and then the flesh, yeah, I think I'll add that right there is going to take care of it. No. It's like sitting, you go to a conference and you're sitting and you're looking around. The guy's preaching. Yeah, boy, he's getting him. Boy, he's getting him. He don't give enough. Nope. To say the same things, to preach the same thing. It's not grievous to me, but it's for your safety. Because we, as his dear children, danger abounds everywhere. We need safety from verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. We need safety from false doctrine and false teachers. Verse 3, but we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There's the danger of, even in, because we're human and we're sinners, there's dangers of putting too much confidence in the flesh. Too many things we hear, maybe the media, getting you all worked up. Maybe your bank account, I'm sitting good. One illness, it's gone. Maybe you put your confidence in your children. They grow up and they go. That's a danger. There's many of them. Our own self-worth, our own works, our own idolatry, this world, putting confidence in our flesh. But this is what I'm concerned about, but with me at times, and you at times. I know we're human nature. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. And verse 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. Apathy or coldness of heart. That's another danger that we have. I just don't feel like coming. And boy, I've heard the excuses. How many excuses I've heard from believers. Of not wanting to gather together or not wanting to do this or not wanting to do that. I often wonder how you go to work. We'll go to work on Monday. We'll do it. We'll go to work on Monday. Or we'll go here. We'll go there. We can't make it. And this is a concern. And I'm human. I'm just like you. We're come out of the same stock. Verse 7. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb. The soul who's not hungry. Somebody prayed or somebody talked. We talked in the back there. A hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what I pray for you. That's what you should pray for me. A hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not to come here just out of habit, same old, same old. Because the hungry, the full soul, who's not empty, loatheth honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You remember in several places in the Old Testament where it talks about he rolled a scroll up and he ate it and it was bitter? I mean, you sit here and I preach the gospel and the flesh gets mad. That's bitter. You mean to tell me that I can't do anything at all, that without Christ I can do nothing? Well, that irritates my flesh. It's bitter. But even the rebukes, even the afflictions that Bruce we talked about this morning, even the afflictions, even all these things to the hungry soul is sweet. Oh, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. This is scary. This is frightening. And I will say this, every time that we've seen somebody that's been here for a couple years and then they walk away, my heart pities them and my heart goes out to them. But I examine myself. I get scared. I'm not like, well, there goes me, saved with the grace of God. But it's just like, am I next? It scares me when I see folks who seem to be so genuine and then they walk away. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1. And unto the church, angel of the church of Sardis write the same things. write this: these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and yet you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and held fast and repent. Heard, received the gospel. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Same chapter in Revelations, verses 14 through 19. And unto the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods. Riches are great. Maybe, maybe not. You say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. What a horrible state to be in. Cold, formal, I can come or I cannot come. God, give us grace to cling to Christ. So what's a preacher, a pastor to do? What's a saved, weak sinner to do? Keep hearing. Keep attending. Keep praying. Keep the faith of God's elect, which is all of grace. For this is Christ is our safety. But for you it is safe. Christ is our safety. In a world that has gone mad, particularly this United States, in a world that will do anything but hear the word of truth spoken by some poor, despised preacher, which incidentally, Scott Richardson said, a preacher is a nobody that tells everybody about somebody that can save anybody. That's what we're doing. Don't we want all the folks that we know to be eternally safe under his covenant, under his promises, under the blood? Yes, we do. Therefore, you and I, from this place, may we rejoice in the Lord. May we speak and declare the same things over and over again, because it's not grievous to you, and it's safe for those who hear it and believe it. I think about that illustration Spurgeon gave. He got a guitar. He's got one string, and he's just plucking it. Plucking it. Well, that is so boring. Now hold it. I am a little bit wiser today than I was yesterday. I found a guy on the internet with one finger. You can learn 72 chords. And I'm like, there ain't no way. Sure enough, it's true. 12, 12, I'm going. And by the time he got done, 72 chords with one finger. Now, we're only talking one string. But you move up. Move up, move up, move up, move up, move up, move up. You bend it up, 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 up. There's 24. You bend it down. There's 36 with one string. So Spurgeon's illustration is true. We got one string. And to be honest with you, we may only have one moment to talk. Our cross may pass with that friend or neighbor or whoever one time. And you can say this and say that, and then your actions just tear it all apart. So come here, this is where the gospel's preached. I'm not going to go. I got something else to do. But I'm thankful God is sovereign. So he even takes how we mess up, and he'll still get glory. And I'm thankful for that, because if that were the case, I'd be talking to myself. And I don't even know if I'd believe it. But to God be the glory. Nathan, would you close us?